Thank you for listening to the Streams Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. We are a community that strives to know Jesus and make him known. If you like our podcast, subscribe and leave us a great rating on Apple Podcasts. Thank you, and we hope you enjoy.
Yes. So, pizza with the pastor. And the arcade cards are good for adults, too, just to let you know. So, if you want to spur each other on to love and high scores, this is your type of fellowship. Anyhow, I'm glad to be up here. My name is Sean. I'm the lead pastor. And we are in a series in Colossians. And we're kind of taking our time to go through this. I always love to kind of explore and dive deep. And so we've got a couple more Sundays in Colossians. But I'm going to pick up where we left off. And that is going to be at the end of Colossians in chapter 3. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. Today we're going to kind of break this passage up into three different parts. Number one, we're going to talk about the workplace. Number two, we're going to talk about doing things as unto the Lord. And then lastly, what it talks about in rewards in heaven. And so the questions I want you to kind of be thinking about as we go through this passage is, what does it look like to work? What does the Bible give us instructions? Or more specifically, let's say you're in a job that you're not enjoying. Chances are you're going to have one of those jobs if you're not in that job already. Paul gives us some instructions on what our instructions are to do. Maybe you don't like your supervisor. Maybe you don't like your coworkers. Maybe you don't like your job. It's changed. Or maybe you're a boss, and how do you deal with your team? Or you supervise an area or a district. What does the Bible tell us about that? Also, what does it look like to represent Christ well? That's a question we'll explore. And then lastly, is there going to be a judgment for Christians when we die? That's a good question. We should look at that. And if so, how is it different from people who don't profess their faith in Christ? So let's go ahead and pray and we'll dive in. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this group of people. And I just, I thank you for your word, God. I pray that you would just illuminate in our hearts, speak to our spirits, let us leave encouraged and just full of hope, and also just corrected if we do need to make some changes, Lord. We just thank you for your love in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so starting in verse 22 of chapter 3, it reads like this: "Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything you do. Try to please them all the time. Not just when they're watching you, serve them sincere because of your reverent fear of the Lord. Work willingly at whatever you do as though you are working for the Lord rather than people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and the master you are serving is Christ. But if you do what is wrong, you will be paid back for the wrong that you have done, for God has no favorites. Masters, be just and fair to your slaves, and remember that you also have a master in heaven." So that is the passage that we're going to be exploring. Nowhere in the Bible does it support slavery or corrupt government or unjust legislation. And so we do need to be mindful that the scriptures talk about this as a slave and a master type of scenario. It wasn't endorsing slavery whatsoever. He was just talking to the culture. So in today's term, it would be more like employee and boss or employer. So the first passage I want to look at, starting in verse 22, this is the chunk, kind of part one. What does it look like to work well? What does it look like to be a good employee? What does it look like to be a good supervisor? It says, "Slaves, obey your master in everything you do." That's a lot. That's a lot. Try to please them all the time. Could you imagine trying to please your boss all the time? Not just when they're watching you, but serve them sincerely. And this is the kicker. Why should we do this? Why should we work so hard in pleasing our master? It's because of your reverent fear of the Lord. It's because of your relationship to God. Because of that connection, God's going to give you grace, going to give you bandwidth, if you will, in order to do that. And then the last part, verse 1 of chapter 4, it says, masters, and I love how Paul kind of brings this to the other side. He says, be just and fair. Say just and fair. So if you supervise people, your instructions are to be just and fair to all your slaves or your employees. Remember that you also have a master in heaven. So, again, nowhere do we see God approving of wrongful work practices. And I do want to throw this out. You also don't have permission to lie or cheat or steal or be dishonest because your boss instructs you to do so. You're not allowed to do that. So anytime we bump into laws, whether they be government laws or work practices, if they go against what God's word tell us, then we need to take a little time out. Maybe you've been in a situation like that. Maybe you're in a situation like that. My advice is to pray that God would open up a new pathway for you, for your work. It's okay to move around and move jobs. If you were having a conflict and a turmoil, I remember talking to this one guy, he's like, what we do is just shady. I feel conflicted with this. I would say, pray and say, God, I know your word. You want me to do this. Open up a new way. And I will say, my advice personally is you want to leave well. You want to leave well in whatever workplace that you do. But I think a lot of people, including myself, I've been in this situation. Maybe your job started out good. It was fulfilling. You were told that your job description is going to be XYZ, and then you get in it, and maybe things shift, and your work hours change, or your department changes. And now you're just like, I don't want Monday to come. I'm dreading this job. I don't want to deal with these people. I hate this project that I'm in. It's not that you're instructed to do anything wrong, but you just lose that loving feeling. Right? I had a job that way, and it's not this job. I'm out of here. No, it's not this job. But honestly, it was like a ministry-based job. And I loved my job. It was great. The people there were wonderful. And as time changed, it went along, I was like, man, I feel like I don't fit here. I feel like the way that they're taking this is opposite of how I would do it. And I just got thinking like, Lord, do I belong here anymore? Is it good for me to stay here? I don't know if you've ever asked those questions. Those are not fun questions to ask, because right on the heels of that is, how the heck am I going to pay my bills? Like, I need wisdom here. And I remember praying like, God, what is going on? And I just grinded it out. And I grinded it out, and I'm just like, I have too much riding on my life and my position. I still need to provide for my family, and I need a word from the Lord. And I didn't get a word from the Lord, but I did get this, and I think this will really help you. This is something that maybe you can kind of sink your teeth in. The assignment that I got during that time for me was found in Romans 12:2. It's just a brilliant scripture. I love this. I'm going to share this because this is quite personal to me. But in that time of struggle, conflict, grinding, irritation, I came across a scripture. And I think this goes beyond maybe a workplace situation. Maybe you're having troubles in your marriage. Maybe you're having troubles in relationships. Maybe you feel lonely or discouraged. Maybe your health is going through something. You have something in your life that's beyond like, oh, this is easy, I'll fix this. Romans says this, be joyful in hope, be patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. You see, this verse was my assignment on Monday. This verse was my assignment all that week, and then a month went by, and 3 months went by, and 6 months went by, and it wasn't getting better. There was little moments that were good, but I was just like, ugh. It was a year of this grind. And every day I had a screenshot of this on my phone. And this was my assignment. I said, I need to be joyful in hope. So if you're going through a difficult time, here's the hope. This too shall pass. Amen? It's not going to be like this all the time. It will pass. There will be a new season. And so for that reason, you should have hope. You should have hope. And it says to be joyful in hope. Why the heck, if you're in a hard situation, do you need joy? That's the last emotion that you'd feel. But what's connected with joy in another passage? The joy of the Lord is my strength. That's interesting. So in order to have strength to continue on, you need the joy of the Lord. You need the joy of salvation. The second part says, be patient in affliction. And I'm thankful that affliction is listed there because that's how my job felt. It was a grind. And the Bible doesn't sugarcoat that. Like, this is a burden. And I need to be patient in it. And you better believe that I need strength in order to be patient. I need God's grace to be patient. So when I ran into something, I'm like, oh, this is what this is talking about. This is the affliction. Take a deep breath. Like, smell this. This is what it's talking about. Right now, I need to be patient. Because this, and I kept telling me, this will not last. This won't be like this ever. And then lastly, a huge component of this is to be faithful in prayer. You have to be connected to God. He's your source of grace. He's your source of strength. And he's your source that will pull you out of this. Maybe there's a lesson that needed to be learned. I don't know. But I will tell you, if you get frustrated and angry and shut the door on God and communication, it's not going to be a pleasant experience. We have to be faithful in our faith and in communication with God. In Proverbs, you guys want a little extra tidbit about this? This is kind of a cool picture. But in Proverbs 16:3, the verse says, to commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. Commit to the Lord. And the word commit, this is interesting, it's the Hebrew, Greek word galal, which means to roll away or to cast aside, to remove. So here's the picture of this. Picture a camel that's heavy laden. Or you can just look at the screen. Either one. So here's a camel that's heavy laden. So back in the old days, they would put a heavy load on this camel. And this word says to commit to the Lord whatever you do. So imagine a camel who needs to have this heavy load removed. What they do is they get on their knees. And the person rolls the pack off and the camel leans to the one side and that heavy load is removed. And so God is saying, hey, in situations that you can't fix, that you've done all that you can do, let me take this off. Let me galal, commit this situation that's beyond your control. Let me roll this off. So a good place is maybe for you to get on your knees to pray and say, God, I need you to help me with this heavy load. I need your help in this heavy load. Okay, so moving on. Part two, it says to do things as unto the Lord. Colossians 3, verse 23, it says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. As though your boss, your supervisor, is Jesus. You're not working merely for human masters. So in the Eastern culture, the person's nature and character were embodied by their name. A name spoke to the person, and it was a perfect representation of who they were. If I do something in the name of Christ, then get this, I'm invoking his nature, his character, and his authority. So we are called ambassadors of Christ. So when we live our lives, we as Christians represent him. And if we don't live in a manner of Christ's name, then we represent him poorly. We literally are acting in his place. So that's kind of a heavy weighted statement. But if you are saying, hey, I'm a Christian, what you're saying is I'm like Christ. I'm his follower. And so it matters a lot how we live our lives. Do you guys know where to find the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament? Go ahead, shout it out. Exodus. There's two places. Exodus 2:20. The reason I remember is Exodus is the second book of the Bible, and then there's Ten Commandments, so the second book of the Bible, chapter 20, Exodus 2:20. Anyways, I won't ask you what the Ten Commandments are, but one of them is this. One of them is not to misuse or take in vain the name of the Lord, your God. And look what he says. He says, I will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses my name. That's a big statement. So a lot of us just think like, oh, when you get mad or you hit your thumb or stub your toe, you say God's name in vain. Or you cuss or you curse and you're misusing God's name. You shouldn't do that. But another level of this commandment is saying, hey, look, you are representing me. If you are saying, I'm going on this mission, I'm pursuing this mission as though I am Christ's follower, and you blaze a trail that goes against me, that misrepresents my name and my character, I'm going to be furious. I'm going to be furious because you're representing me in this part. And Christians, we are guilty of this. We do not treat people with love and grace and patience. I know I'm guilty of this. And if this is you, if you've been hurt by the church or Christian leaders or been dealt with wrong by a Christian businessman, it shouldn't be that way. It kind of hurts you worse. Like if you're a Christian and you're doing business with another Christian, it hurts. Even the Catholic Church, I'm not trying to pick on people who are Catholic or the Catholic Church by any means, but they have a very bloody past. They did these things called Inquisitions, and it started in 1478. It lasted 350 years. The Spanish Inquisition was not the first, but it was really one of the most notorious because of the brutal torture methods. So here's how all of this started. It probably sounds good when you think of it, but there was a decree that said, hey, look, we need to root out heresy against the church. We need to root out this sin and this corruption. Like, that sounds like a good idea. So they go in and they set up all this territory of Spain, and they gave a 40-day edict of grace. And this allowed people to say, hey, I'm guilty of heresy. I said this against the church. I wasn't representing things well. But after this period ended, if there was any accusation saying, hey, look, this person said this, or this person was acting, you know, against the church or heretical, they would have this person come into court. There would be, you know, a prosecutor. And it didn't matter who said it or if there was any proof, but they would be prosecuted and imprisoned. And their property would be confiscated, so their family would be on the streets, and they'd be tortured. It was even to death. Over 150,000 people were persecuted during this time. Over 3,000 to 5,000 people died in the name of God. That can't be. That can't be. Again, we are just as guilty. In 2000, Pope John Paul II did apologize for the grievous violence and persecution that these inquisitions caused. But we have to be serious that, you know what, if I'm going to call myself a Christian, I need to be serious about carrying his character. What this means is when we're driving, we reflect Christ. When we return our shopping cart, we represent Christ. When we fill out our taxes, we're representing Jesus. If you're a student explaining why your assignment was on time, or you're explaining to your boss why you didn't get the job done, you're representing Christ. When you're speaking to your spouse, you're representing Christ. Okay, so here's what happens. I'm putting this message together, and this thing just slaps me right in the face. because I got a bill from a dentist. I'm not going to tell you the name. But this was like over a year. We went to get x-rays and exams and cleaning. So we knew that our dental insurance was going to expire. So we're like, let's get the kids and get a cleaning for everybody. So we went there. I gave them the insurance. They called. Yeah, everything's covered. So we go. We get the treatment. And my wife, she needed a crown. So she says, hey, I need to make sure this is paid for because my insurance, there's a chance that it's going to expire. You're going to do the work now, but you're going to install it after the insurance is expired. They said, hey, don't worry about it. It'll all be covered. Well, a year later, I get a bill for $500. And I've got to take care of this. And so I'm driving to the dentist, and this is the part of my message that I'm dealing with. This is really fun. And I tell myself, hey, Sean wants to go in there and just XYZ, you said this, you said this, you said this. But I said, I am representing Jesus right now. And so I go in there, I talk to Tiffany, and she's just trying to do her job. And I just have so much tenderness, so much, like, I literally am giving myself a pep talk. Like, I have to deal with this lady as though I represent Christ. And so she found out what happened, and basically what they said was not true. And so I said, I'm going to still treat you like Christ. And so I don't know if it was the insurance company that messed up or whatever, but I still am stuck with this bill. And I says, okay, God, you got to figure this out. But I walked away from that situation. And I will say that she was very gracious. She says, hey, look, I'll discount 25% and all that type of stuff. Because I imagine she just gets yelled at all the time. But if somebody was like, oh, yeah, I think that guy's a pastor, like, how bad would that be, right? But I hated that that was the message that I was speaking that week. And right then, the bill comes. Like, we are in tricky spots. It wasn't my fault that they didn't do that. They should have done what they did. But even when we're misrepresented, when we're unfairly treated, realize that as Christ followers, we have to do everything as unto the Lord. And here's why that's important. The third part is kind of in our inheritance or rewards. The last part of verse 24 says, since you know this, you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. Say inheritance. So what we do on this side of reality does have an impact in our eternal home. It says, it is Christ, it's the Lord Christ that you are serving. So here's the question, here's the answer to the question. The Bible does make a clear argument that as Christians, we will be judged for our actions. So here's the big distinction. As somebody who asks for forgiveness, who believes on the name of the Lord, their sins are forgiven. So there will be two different judgments. I'm just going to breeze through this quickly. But the judgment for people without Christ, they're saying, hey, look, I choose not to acknowledge you as Lord. I choose to take on the punishment of my sin. And that's what breaks God's heart, because it's sin that separates us from God. So those people are saying, I want to live my own way. I don't need your involvement in my life. And you're choosing to put distance between you and God's Spirit. And so for those people, they will have a judgment, and they will pay the price of their sin. And that price will be separation from God. So as Christians, on the other hand, are we going to be penalized for the sins that we've committed? You guys should know this. If you call on the name of the Lord, are you going to be penalized for the sins that you commit? No. Who took on the punishment of that sin? Jesus Christ. That's the good news. Oh my goodness, I don't deserve this grace. But because of Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross, my sins are forgiven. They are remembered no more. So when I stand in front of a holy God, he doesn't see my sin. He sees Jesus who took away that sin. So I am holy in front of God. So now it's a different topic. It's saying, hey, look, I entrusted you with these people. I've given you time, treasure, resources. What did you do with what I gave you? And your works will be judged. Look at what Corinthians says in chapter 3, verse 12. It says, anyone who builds on that foundation, what do you think the foundation is? Christ. Christ is the foundation. So you're building on the work of Christ. Can use very a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, and hay. But on Judgment Day, say Judgment Day, fire, this is for Christ followers, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person has any work, a person's work has any value. If the work survives, the builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved. Get that. What's that say? The builder will be saved. Why? Because their sins are not counted against them. But like anyone barely escaping through the wall of flame. So we are saved not by our deeds of conduct, but what we do is the evidence of our faith. So how we act should be unto God. So salvation is a gift. Praise the Lord. Who is excited about that? Yeah. Amen. We can do nothing apart from God. And we need to realize it's because of God's goodness that we want to treat people above and beyond fair. Because we do represent Christ. So this is not a heavy, hardcore, you're not doing enough, you're not doing things right. It's, again, we can do nothing apart from God. Do you think it's God's desire to help us be like Christ? Have you met anybody who is like Christ? No, I haven't. We aren't perfected until we reach eternity. And honestly, if we were perfected on this side of eternity, we probably would be like, oh, I've got this, God. You hooked this up. I got it from here. I'm just going to go in cruise control. But no, God says, hey, you need me every day. I'm your daily bread. So is it okay that you mess up? Oh my goodness, yes. I am that example. I mess up. I blow it. But I do want to have an attitude of, hey, look, I do want to represent Christ well. I want to be a good employee. I want to be a good husband. I'm going through some challenges in my life, but you know what? I know that God's going to get me through. And Jesus' words were clear on this too. He talks about bearing fruit and storing your treasure in heaven. Luke 6:38, he says, give and it will be given to you. In a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured out for you. For the measure that you use, it will be used or measured to you. So God says, hey, it's up to you. Whatever you want to give, I'm going to reward. How much you make yourself available to our relationship and my presence, I'm going to reward. If it's just this little bit, it's great. just keep going. Keep going in your journey. I did not land here 6 months ago. I was very slow. I was extremely slow in the pace that I took my relationship with God. So that's why it says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But for those who, there's a stirring like, you know what, I want to do some more. God's made an impact in my life. I want to get involved. I want to get on the game. I want to do something beyond Sunday. That's God's Spirit saying, hey, I'm stirring that in you because I'm going to empower you to do something. So Jesus, did he ever talk about a tithe or 10%? No, he says, give whatever you want. It's going to be given back to you. He said, don't store up treasure in heaven. That's Matt 16. Don't store up treasures on earth. Store your treasures in heaven. And I want to leave you one other piece as the band comes up. In Hebrews, there's another part that says, hey, this is a key to reward as well. Hebrews 10:35, it says, don't throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings. So your confident trust in the Lord will bring a great reward to you. Isn't that good? So that's why we can be joyful in hope or patient in affliction. You're going through stuff. You're dealing with circumstances that are beyond your control that aren't fun. Don't give up the confident hope that God is going to turn it around. Because he says, I see what you do and I will reward you. And that's why we want to be a representation of Christ. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I want to boast about your goodness. And I thank you, God, that you are so patient and that you are so kind to us. So if there's any feelings of regret or shame, we know that doesn't come from you. But God, we open ourselves, Holy Spirit, to you convicting us, just like David said, to prod us to good deeds, to loving one another. That's the fellowship that you have designed us to be in. God, would you knit us together in your love? Would you show us ways that we can represent you well? Maybe that's to our neighbors. Maybe that's praying for somebody. Maybe that's not judging somebody. God, I thank you for you and your love towards us. I pray, God, that your Spirit would just do mighty things in our community. I pray for you to heal hearts, heal brokenness. We don't have to pay the price for our sin. You've done that. So out of that vein, let us rejoice in you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can stand with us as we pray.